a group of unconscious associations or impulses having to do with the image of a father. These impulses may be positive or negative. A father complex. I'm sure you've heard of it. It's modern psychology. 12 sons in my family. 11 of us had negative father complexes. One, positive. And he needed to die for it.
God changes Jacob's name to Israel, and his 12 sons become the heads of large families or tribes. They become known as the 12 nations or the 12 tribes of Israel. However, Jacob's favoritism among his sons will have long-lasting consequences.
Let me start with an odd story that happened at the ford of the Jabbok River. My father, Jacob, along with his family, was headed to meet his estranged brother, Esau, who brought with him 400 men. Things were more than a little tense because Esau had promised to kill Jacob the last time they had seen each other. Jacob sent gifts to Esau in an attempt to pacify him and then sent his family away. The Bible says that when Jacob was alone, a man wrestled with him until dawn. The Bible does not identify the man, and when the man could not overcome Jacob, he touched Jacob's hip and dislocated it. The man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." And Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the man gave him this odd blessing. "I am changing your name from Jacob to Israel, because you have overcome God and humans." Jacob let him go and named the place Peniel, because he said that he had seen God face to face and his life had been spared. My father wrestled with God. And wrestling with God is no joke. My father, Jacob, now Israel, son of Isaac, son of Abraham, God instructs him to take his entire enormous family and massive wealth and go to Bethel. At Bethel, he is to build an altar to God. Before doing so, Israel does a very important thing. He instructs his entire household to get rid of their foreign gods and purify themselves. They give him their foreign gods and their earrings, and Israel buries them. With his act of dedication to God, the terror of God falls on all the towns around them, and nobody bothers them. At Bethel, God reaffirms my father's name change, says that he will increase in number until a great nation and kings come from him, and that he will receive the land given to Abraham and Isaac. God doesn't say when this will happen, just that it will happen. My father set up a stone pillar as a memorial for God's promise. At that time, my father had two wives. Leah was his first wife, and her sister Rachel was his second and favorite wife. My father also had two concubines, Bilhah and Zilpah. He had sons by all of them, 12 sons in total. I was the firstborn son by his first wife, Leah. My father never truly loved my mother, and I'm not sure he ever really loved me either. He certainly didn't love his two concubines. Maybe that is part of the explanation for what happened next. I slept with his concubine, Bilhah, the mother of two of my half-brothers. This was a hugely disrespectful act. My father found out about it, but didn't do anything. I guess he just didn't care that much about me, or Bilhah. That doesn't mean my father didn't love any of his children. He had a special love for his two children by Rachel, the love of his life, Joseph and Benjamin. He loved Joseph far more than any of the rest of us. In fact, he made Joseph a special, ornate robe to show how much he loved him. We hated Joseph. Every time we saw that robe with its many colors and designs, we hated him even more. Joseph told us about a dream he'd had. We were binding grain into sheaves when our sheaves bowed down to his. We exploded. He insinuated that he would rule over us? That was beyond disrespectful to us, his older brothers. And it got worse. Joseph told us he had a dream where the sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed down to him. This dream even bothered our father. It was a clear reference to Jacob and us 11 brothers bowing down to him. We were completely done with it all. Now, Joseph was a little more than 17, and our father sent him to check on the rest of us. We were many miles away, and one time Joseph had tattled on us, so our father wanted to find out if we were misbehaving again. In the distance, we could see Joseph walking toward us. The brilliant colors of his robe, I mean, you couldn't miss him. The closer he got, the more enraged my brothers became. By the time he reached them, they had agreed to kill him and then tell our father that a wild animal had devoured him and his dreams could never come true, and they laughed. I reached the scheming group before Joseph and heard their plot. Somehow I convinced them not to kill him and just throw him in a cistern. I was the oldest, so maybe that was it. I planned to rescue him later. When Joseph arrived, we grabbed him, took off his repulsive robe, and we threw him in a dry well. I left while my brother sat down to a meal and to celebrate their shallow victory. Then they heard something. Bells. In the distance. Camel bells. They looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelite traders loaded with spices to take to Egypt. These Ishmaelites were distant cousins of ours. When I returned to the cistern to rescue Joseph, it was empty. I confronted my brothers and they explained what they had done. My brother, Judah, had a brilliant idea. Rather than killing Joseph for no gain, they should sell him to the traders as a slave. They would not be guilty of murdering their own brother, and they would have money to boot. Done. They sold him for 20 shekels of silver. And Joseph became a slave. I had no choice but to join their conspiracy. We slaughtered a goat to get its blood and splashed the blood on Joseph's robe and even tore it in a few places. We took it back to our father and showed it to him. My father looked at the robe and he said that this was Joseph's robe and some wild animal must have devoured him. We didn't even have to lie to him. Our father tore his clothes and mourned for many, many days, and we tried to comfort him, but he would have none of it. Our father said he would mourn for Joseph the rest of his life. And secretly, we felt justified in our actions. Our father loved Joseph so much, and us so little. With Joseph gone, I hoped to be more respected by my father. I hoped to gain his trust and love. But things did not go so well for my family after Joseph was gone. I won't bore you with all the details, but I will tell you one story that exemplifies just how badly things fell apart for us. My brother, Judah, again, moved away from the family. While gone, he married a Canaanite woman. And he knew our father would never approve of that, which is maybe why he did it. She quickly became pregnant and bore a son. She got pregnant again and had another son. Their firstborn son married a woman named Tamar. He was so wicked that the Lord put him to death. Now, that is wicked. My brother, Judah, went to his second son and demanded he impregnate his brother's wife and raise her children so that she could carry on the name of the family. The second son refused to do so. The Lord got so angry at the second son that he put him to death too. Judah then asked Tamar to live with him as a widow until his much younger third son grew to be an adult. She did, and all went well until the third son grew old enough. Judah did not give his third son to Tamar. So Tamar didn't have any children. Eventually, Judah's own wife died. After recovering from his grief, he went away to be with an old friend. Tamar heard where Judah was going, she put on a disguise and rushed ahead of him. She sat by the road and acted as a prostitute in her disguise. Judah did not recognize her. Judah hired her for the price of a goat, but she required an additional thing, that he give her a pledge of a seal, cord, and staff, that he would bring the goat to her. He gave her a seal, cord, and staff, then he slept with her. He sent the goat to her to get his pledges back, but she was gone. 3 months later, Judah was told that Tamar was pregnant. She was guilty of prostitution. Enraged, Judah sentenced her to death, to be burned to death. Tamar showed him his pledges, caught. Judah realized he was the father, and Judah never slept with her again, but she did have twin sons by him. Now, why did I spend so much time telling you this incestuous story of Judah and his daughter-in-law Tamar? In the New Testament, the family lineage of Jesus is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and Perez. Tamar's twin boys were named Zerah and Perez. My family, 12 brothers by 4 women, plenty of interpersonal conflict, overwhelming amounts of sin and stupid choices. We were a mess. We were a sad, sad excuse for a family with a covenant with God. And it was about to get worse, a lot worse. A worldwide famine was on its way. God's promise to my great-grandfather, grandfather, and my father to make them into a great nation seemed like a distant dream or a very bad joke. But God was in control. Not me. Not my father, even. That alone can move a father complex into a positive direction.